of September 13th. This is, I think, a really exciting opportunity to explore opportunities for all the communities and utilities in central Iowa to determine if there are some ways that we can collaborate to allow us in the future, and we'll talk about, or we'll have Nathan speak as to the long-range plan, the ability for us to assure our residents that they're going to have plenty of water at the quality that we want at the best possible price. So I would say those were kind of the overall missions of why this group got together. Maybe before we get too far into it, just because we have some new faces, we might go around, have each one introduce themselves and what their role is, and we may have also, just from the start, the consultant and the speakers to share with us their names as well. So Bill, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm Bill Stowe. I'm with Des Moines Water Works.
Diana Wilson, West Des Moines Water Works.
Dale Atchison, Urbandale Water Utility.
Bob Andoig, Mayor of Urbandale.
Steve Gehr, Mayor of West Des Moines.
Paula Darenfeld, Mayor of Johnston.
David Jones, City Manager of Ankeny, pinch hitting for Mayor Lorenz.
John McEwen, Chair, Urbandale Water Utility.
Karen Novak, Swallow, West Des Moines Board of Trustees, Chair.
Stu Hubbard, Des Moines Water Works, Chair.
Lauren Sarcone, Des Moines Water Works.
Nathan, we may have you introduce yourself, even though you'll speak.
Nathan Casey, Des Moines Water Works.
Okay.
I'm Jason Lund, I'm a consultant facilitator for the process.
All right, great. Well, item two, Nathan, we might have you share with the group an overview of the 2040 long-range plan.
This is a copy of the 2040 long-range plan in its draft form. If anybody is interested in reading it, it's nice and short. I'm going to talk today about the 2040 long-range plan. Des Moines Water Works recently completed the last long-range plan in 2009, which detailed improvements to 2020. So as we started getting close to 2020, we realized we needed to refresh that plan. And because of all of the growth that the metro has been experiencing, we really realized we should look farther into the future. So we enlisted the assistance of HDR and CH2M, two international engineering consulting firms, to help us on this. HDR helped with the water modeling, and CH2M helped with the source water and water treatment infrastructure needs. We worked with CERDWIC, the Central Iowa Regional Drinking Water Commission, to develop population and water demand projections. So each community in the CERDWIC group developed their own population and water demand projections and provided that to the Des Moines Water Works. And with that, they provided how much water they would like to obtain from the Water Works core network system. We then went through customer connections, all the different connections to customers throughout the whole system, to ensure that water was available at that connection, what we would need to do to get water to that connection. We looked at source water, water treatment, and water distribution infrastructure improvements that would be needed to meet the water demand projections, and then get those water demands to where they were needed in the metro area. We used all that information to develop a staged implementation plan through the year 2040. It's in five-year increments, 2020, 2025, and so on to 2040. Then we tied, though, all of those improvements to a demand trigger. We did that because we wanted to ensure we were prepared if that growth comes either faster or slower than what was done, than what was developed during the water demand projections with CERDWIC. These were all the communities that were involved in their relationship with the Des Moines Water Works. So you can see there's a lot of communities on here. Most of these communities do have connections to the Des Moines Water Works core network at this time, except for Grimes. And they have notified us that in the future they would like to obtain water from the Water Works core network. This is a map of the Water Works Water Works surface area. You can see all the pipes that are operated by the Des Moines Water Works. These are historic metro population projections from 1990 to 2010. You can see we've seen about a little bit less than 150,000 increase in population over that time period. These are the population projections. These are service area population projections, so populations serviced by metro area water utilities. So in 2015, about 538,000 people was the estimate. And then 2040, we think 835,000 people. So that's an increase of about 300,000 new population. So these are the projected average day water demands. So this is water demands through the entire metro area, not just customers of Des Moines Water Works. So this is everybody, and I'll get to the demand on the water works in a second here. So in 2015, estimated about 55 million gallons a day for average water demand. And then by 2040, that average demand could be as high as 87 million gallons a day. For a reference point, this year we did not see a single day at 87 million gallons. So that's quite an increase in demand. This chart shows max day demands. In water system, your production and your source needs to be able to meet the max day. That's you know, the amount of water you need to be able to provide to meet the customer's demand on that day. So in 2015, we estimated it could have been as high as 116 million gallons a day. Now, we didn't actually experience that in 2016. Water systems experience their peak days on hot, dry years. And 2015 was not a hot, dry year. But that 116 million gallons a day could happen anytime now. And then we projected out to be 189 million gallons a day by 2040. But this is the whole metro area. So this is not what Des Moines Water Works needs to be able to provide. This is a treatment plant summary of all the facilities servicing the metro area. You can see Fluor Drive Water Treatment Plant is the large facility there in Waterworks Park near downtown Des Moines. That's a 75 million gallon a day treatment plant. The McMullen Water Treatment Plant is a 25 million gallon a day water treatment plant. It's southwest of the metro area near the Maffitt Reservoir. The Sailorville Water Treatment Plant is a 10 million gallon a day water treatment plant located between Des Moines and Ankeny on the east side of the Des Moines River. On the east side of the Des Moines River. Altoona has a water treatment plant. Grimes, Polk City, West Des Moines all have water treatment plants. We did include in our analysis the possibility of Urbandale constructing a water treatment plant. They've been talking about that for several years. We wanted to look at how that could be incorporated into the larger system. So as we get into the costs, you'll see how that project would affect the system in general. And then Xenia is planning on building a water treatment plant in the future that would reduce their demands on the core network. So this is how we calculated the demand on the Des Moines Water Works core network. So on the top there, you see the dates. Underneath that, you see the max day demand on that date. That's on that year. We then added a 10 million gallon a day buffer, production buffer, so we're not operating on the edge there all the time. Then we subtracted out the amount of water produced outside of the core network, so water produced by individual communities. We then subtracted out ASR wells. ASR stands for Aquifer Storage and Recovery. This is a peak shaving type of program that we use. There are four ASR wells right now in the metro area, two in Ankeny and two in the Des Moines core network. And what we do with that is we make water under lower demand times. We treat it and then we pump it down and we store it in a deep aquifer to recover in the summer when water demand goes up. So there's four right now. We are completing a fifth in conjunction with West Des Moines. And we are projecting that the metro area can service 10 total. So there's another one planned in West Des Moines, one planned in Waukee, and then three more planned right now that would go into the core network. So that gives us, so we subtract that number out to shave off that peak. That gives us the demand required from the waterworks. We then subtract out how much production capacity we currently have, which is around 110 million gallons. And you see at the bottom there how much additional production capacity is required to meet the demands. And you can see there, as early as 2020, we are deficient by about 3 million gallons. And that number just keeps getting bigger as we get farther out into the future. In 2040, we are projecting, the plan includes about 47.5 million gallons a day of additional source and production capacity. This is a map of the major or the large meters out in the system. We wanted to ensure that we had the capability to get water to the customer. And so this is how we laid it out. We looked at all the long-range plans and community plans for the different communities, and we tried to site future meters and look at the existing meters to see if we could get enough water to them. So you'll see some new meters, and you'll see meters that have got significantly more water going through them than they do today. So this is the production capacity alternatives. We developed three different ways to get that 47.5 million gallons. On the left here, you see what we have today, which is 75 at Fluor, 25 at McMullen, and 10 at Sailorville. Both the Sailorville and the McMullen treatment plants were originally designed to be expanded, so they had expansion planned into the original installation. So McMullen was planned to be taken to 37.5, and Sailorville was planned to be taken to 20. And so that is a common improvement to all three alternatives, because it was originally planned and is, as far as we could see, the least expensive alternative to get that additional water. But we need an additional 25 million gallons a day beyond that around the year 2030. So we developed three alternatives to get that additional 25 million gallons a day. The first one is to actually expand the Fluor Drive water treatment plant. That plant was originally a 100 million gallon a day plant, and over the years it has been derated due to new water treatment regulations. After our consultant toured the plant, they felt that it was in good condition and that it would be the easiest way to get that additional 25 million gallons, to go in there and restore it to its original capacity. The second option is to expand in that Sailorville area. So we take that 20 million gallon a day Sailorville plant, we add another 25 in that same area. And that would get us that additional 25 Sailorville. The area around Sailorville has a good source water there along the Des Moines River. And then we looked at a fourth plant, and we started looking at a fourth plant thinking we might be able to find a different water source. We weren't very successful in that, so that fourth plant was located along the Des Moines River again. It doesn't end up making a lot of sense when we could put that additional 25 at the Sailorville plant, where we already have a lot of infrastructure in that area. So I'll talk a little bit more about the advantages of those in a second. All those alternatives do include some base improvements, to maintain Fluor Drive. It is not new. It's an older facility, so there's some work that needs to be done to maintain its capacity, even at 75 million gallons a day. Three ASR wells in the Des Moines network, the core network, which five total, one in West Des Moines and one in Waukee, but three additional beyond that. An expansion of Sailorville again to 25 to 20, an expansion of McMullen to 37.5, a lot of pumping improvements, expansion of existing booster stations, brand new booster stations, a lot of additional pumping to push all that additional water out into the system. Additional storage throughout the distribution system. And then the base improvements includes about 68 miles of additional transmission main. So here's some non-economic evaluation of the three alternatives to get that additional 25 million gallons. The Fluor expansion is the least expensive, but the Fluor Drive plant is located in a floodplain, which does place it at risk, even though we do think it's very well protected from a flood. It has been flooded in the past. Fluor has the most diverse water sources. It can draw from the Raccoon River watershed, the Des Moines River watershed, It has groundwater sources. It has a lot of different places it can get water from, which makes it very flexible in operations. You can take water from wherever the water quality is the best on any given day. It does have some site restrictions. It's in a floodplain again. There's a levee around it, which makes it restricted in site, makes it harder to and more expensive to add additional treatment there if there are new regulations in the future that could cause problems for that plant. And I think this is one of our biggest concerns, is it's an increased reliance on one plant. Right now, Fleur Drive needs to operate every single day in order to service the metro area. And if we expand Fleur, we're taking that reliance and we're becoming more reliant on it. So, and then that alternative takes about 21 miles of additional distribution piping beyond the 68 that we already have. The Sailorville expansion, it sits in the middle. Sailorville is outside of the floodplain. It can only draw from the Des Moines River, so it doesn't have the same flexibility that Fleur had. But it does have a membrane treatment process, so reverse osmosis treatment really protects you against almost any water quality concern we may deal with in the future. Nitrates, for example, Sailorville has no problems with nitrate treatment. So, and it's an open site out there in that area. There's plenty of room for expansion. The fourth water treatment plant was the highest cost. Would be probably along the Des Moines River. Land acquisition was going to be very difficult for that plant. This is a map of alternative two, and I know it's very difficult to read. We can talk about more specific projects if you'd like to, but really you see a lot of distribution piping pushing water west. We recently completed a study with Ankeny and Polk City, and there's some improvements that need to be done north, but really a lot of that's been done already. And then pushing water east to Altoona and Pleasant Hill, for example, we completed a project a few years ago that really reinforced that area pretty well. So a lot of the improvements are pushing water west and then south. So these are the costs. These are not final yet. The report is not final. These are draft costs, but we don't expect these to change a lot. So scenario one is, again, expansion of Fleur. Scenario two is expansion of Sailorville. Scenario three is a fourth water treatment plant. And then we divide that up again into scenario 1A, which would be without Urbandale building a treatment plant, and 1B, which would be with Urbandale building a treatment plant. This first slide is for core network projects affecting everybody. So this is mostly the source water treatment infrastructure needed to get enough water for everybody. So these would be costs shared by everybody. This next slide is core network involving some entities. So this is not involving everybody, but involving specific communities. An example of this is we're working right now with Cumming and Norwalk to put in a new water main and booster station down to Cumming and Norwalk so they can have additional water. That number would be included in this. A new booster station to push water to Polk City is in the works. That number would be included in this. And then this last one is Des Moines Water Works and total service areas. This is improvements in the Des Moines system for the most part. Where we're at right now, from a scheduling standpoint, we have submitted our final comments from the Sertwick Technical Committee and Des Moines Water Works, and they are being incorporated into the report. It should be finalized within the next week, and we hope to have the board of Waterworks trustees receive and file it at the September board meeting. Questions?
Questions for Nathan? I think West Des Moines Water Utility and Urbandale have gone through in detail as well this report. So they have, Nathan's group has comments from the other cities who have reviewed it. Okay. A lot of good information. Nathan, could you maybe email us your presentation?
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we get it out on the utility and the city websites.
Yes, no problem.
One question regarding
treatment and treatment costs, I mean, I'm sure we all can have a lot of interesting questions as time goes on, but is this assuming that the, for instance, treatment and removal of nitrate in the water is to a 10
yes.
part? What if that was to change to 3?
If it was to change to 3, we would have a significant change in the costs of this project.
Did anybody ever run any numbers on that?
No. Right now, the EPA works on a thing called the CCL3 and CCL4 lists, which is where they're talking about changing those regulations. So if the EPA was talking about changing the limits on nitrates, it would be on that. It would be on that list. Those lists are. It takes them years to finish those.
Mayor, a flip side kind of the question you're asking, though, is although we did not run various scenarios off the 10 milligrams per liter standard, we have done a longitudinal study about what we expect the rivers to trend towards in the same time period.
Yes.
And the recommendations we've made here for capital improvements assume that we'll continue to see deterioration in the water quality in both the Des Moines and Raccoon River.
Increased nitrates.
Yes.
And those costs are included in the plan. Okay.
Bill, the current standard, how long has that been the standard? How many years?
Mayor, it's been in place for at least 25 years, and somebody can give me a date on when it kicked
in.
It was in the original
passing of the Clean Water Act.
So now we're talking 40 years now, but the denitrification facility that we have has been operative since 1993.
Yeah. So highly unlikely that standard would change if it hasn't changed in 40 years?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's unlikely that it would change, but it'll change with a lot of signals, which is kind of Nathan's point. It's not something that will change, you know, in a presidential order next year.
Okay.
It would happen with a lot of public health data and a lot of longitudinal analysis. So in our experience is these things happen. MCLs change with decades of notice.
Yeah, I mean, to get the mayor... County's question, the idea would be the cost would go up. I guess the goal of this group would be we can bear it better as a group than we can individually.
Absolutely.
Bill, would you mind stating what you shared with us yesterday in our meeting about not nitrates, but the other things we're seeing coming out of the Des Moines River?
We've spent a lot of time in a lot of different fora talking about nitrate concentrations. What we're seeing this year is not a great concern with nitrate because it's a relatively dry year, so the water is not coming through soils into the waterways with any frequency. But what we're seeing in a low flow, that is little water in the river, warm weather kind of scenario, is a lot of concern about blue-green algae and microcystins or some kind of toxin associated with that algae. This year our staff has been testing on an 8-hour basis essentially from Memorial Day and continue to test it now. We're seeing on the Des Moines River as an example right now, a level that has us not drawing from the Des Moines River. It's so high in this toxin, we're relying on the Raccoon River and other sources. So the point being that clearly on water quality issues, we watch on a number of different fronts what's going on. We have the fortune of having several different alternatives and where we treat and how we treat to be able to meet that, but it becomes a challenge. Our issue this year again is not nitrate concentrations, it's cyanotoxins, it's the blue-green algae and bacteria associated with that. And if you look at the rivers right now, you'll see that they're blue-green.
Yeah. Well, again, another goal of this group would look at maybe we ought to build a regional plant somewhere else and avoid that source of water if it's that big of an issue. I mean, it gives us a lot more flexibility on what water we collectively, all of us, would draw from. Other questions for Nathan? Okay. Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks.
Guiding principles. I know on the dais, I'm not sure if we have a number of these for the general public. They're out here. Okay. We won't go through in detail the guiding principles, but we wanted to share with everyone the draft of the guiding principles that have been worked on, and Sue will give us some more of the history here in a minute on how that arrived. But, you know, I guess the 30,000-foot view is what we're really studying and analyzing is the ability to regionalize the production of the water demands into the future. All the city utility water boards would remain intact. They would have responsibilities that they have today. Each city would be responsible for setting their own rates on the water that they're going to charge their customers. Each city would be responsible for installing, maintaining all of their water infrastructure and the distribution. What this group is analyzing is regionalizing the production of water. Again, I think the idea would be, Nathan mentions almost 50 million gallons in the future. Long range, doesn't it seem that it would be more advantageous collectively for all of us to partner in production facilities versus each community independently doing it on their own or partnering with another city? So that regional group, if it moves forward, obviously we'd have to agree upon the governance structure of that. But before we get to the governance structure, we want to get to the how this would function, and does it make sense to move forward on a regional production facility? And that group would again control the expansion of water production, would oversee the wholesale rates to the individual communities, the water quality issues. But once that water then got to the individual cities, it's going to be up to those cities and their water utilities to manage it for their customers and their residents. So the guiding principles are still open for suggested edits or changes to them. We're open to that. We have no pride of authorship, and we want to get it right. So please keep them with you. Think about it. And if others have suggestions on maybe edits or changes or additions to those, we're open to consider that. Item four, discussion. Sue, we'll turn that over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. We have had a good governance structure that has lasted 100 years, and now we look to the vision of our mayors, as well as the water utility boards that we have for the next 100 years. So the process that we have put in place, it started very informally with the three chairs of our water utilities, John McEwen, Karen Novak-Swalwell, and myself. And we have shared this information with each of our boards. And our boards also have committees looking at regionalization. So in the course of this, we have had a number of discussions with community leaders very interested in regionalization. We looked at the DART governance structure, which is one that our community recently went through. And really one of our first conversations was with Scott Racker. What worked well? What would you do differently? And he has been very open and willing to share their process with us because all of our communities were involved. We also brought in Christy Nouse from the Community Foundation and her staff. And she provided for us the guiding principles that DART had used, and it was really from that position that we started to work on our governance, on the guiding principles that you see before you. All along, on an informal and more recently on a formal basis, we have kept the partnership involved because we think it's key and important to for the entity covering all of our groups that are charged with regionalization to know what we're doing and to play a role as well. And so, Joe, thank you for being here. And I should say that there are some people in the audience that for about the last 12 years, this has been a real personal passion. E.J. Giovanetti has been involved in discussions and trying to lay the groundwork, so we are continuing to have conversations with individuals in the community that find this of great interest. So we have additionally brought in the CERDWIC group, Central Iowa Rural Drinking Water, to ensure that those individuals representing each of your communities are involved. We then brought together the three mayors of the organizations we represent. They quickly expanded that to the six mayors you see before you in the communities of the largest users of water. And from that, they have charged us, as of our last meeting, with finding a facilitator. And I'll let Karen walk through the process, or John.
Yeah, on the facilitator search, we looked at two national firms and two local firms. Black & Veatch, which had done a long-range planning for Des Moines earlier. We looked at the FCS group. McClure group was local, and RGC. And after all that, got great responses from everybody. Everybody was really interested in doing it. And so that seems to have gone very well. And everybody seems to really be working well together on it. So to go through this process, there's going to be a lot more discussions with everybody and schedulings. So should work out very well. I think we'll have an answer or at least some solutions, hopefully, relatively quickly.
As a result of those conversations with those four different firms, we did select Jason Monk, who's with us today. We're pleased to have him here. Jason and FCS come to us with a lot of experience in the water utility field, both with water and wastewater. I believe there are over 30 experts with the FCS firm, and they have done hundreds of studies and evaluations with doing rate making, regionalization, all kinds of different things that impact water utilities. Jason comes to us with a background in finance. He has an undergrad degree, I think, from Colorado State, and an MBA from University of Colorado. Okay. And he has personally done numerous studies, hundreds of studies, with different water utilities and regional government, local government. So we're very pleased to have his expertise to guide us through this important process. And I'm going to turn it over to Jason. He can tell you a little bit more about himself and his background and a little bit about the process we're anticipating coming up this fall.
Am I going to be heard if I just speak here? Okay.
Yep.
Mayors and board chairs and managers of the utilities, I want to thank you very much for welcoming me to your community. And I just showed up on Tuesday, and I've not really stopped moving since. I have been able to get out and visit with many, many people, and thank you for your hospitality. The region here, as a number of utilities, have already invested hundreds of millions of dollars in over 100 million gallons per day in combined capacity. As we just saw from the long-term plan, there is a substantial amount of investment left to be made to provide for the growth needs of this regional community that I'm just going to call Des Moines. The hope and the vision for everybody, a lot of people in this room, is that we can achieve a better level of service at the lowest possible cost by combining our resources and our thinking into a regional entity that will do this more efficiently. And certainly there's evidence out there in the world to tell us that this should be true. However, it is fraught with challenge, and if it were easy, we would not have 52,000 drinking water utilities in the United States of America. We would have far fewer. The challenges really are plentiful. Fortunately, I have had the opportunity to be part of a number of very large municipal consolidations in the past. I was fortunate to be part of two $1 billion in, investments in my home state of Colorado, one in the Denver area and one in the Colorado Springs area, where we were able to bring together a number of utilities to help shoulder the burden of those substantial investments and do so at a better cost with the higher level of service. I have been also able to do something similar out in the Portland area and in smaller scales in smaller communities in different parts of the country. What that experience tells us is that the impediments that sit in front of us for regionalization to occur fall into just a few areas, but that those challenges are not insurmountable. We know what they are, and as I've been here the last few days, we're trying to figure out what they are for you and what they really mean for the people in this room. The process going forward is to gain a definition of what those things are, a very strong definition, so that we can agree on how to approach these issues together. Once we get past that definitional phase, we will start getting into a better planning phase. The end result of this that I've laid out to the group is that we have something that looks a lot like a business plan by the end of December that will get you through all of the issues that we have identified, but also get you along the lines towards what you need to do next in terms of implementation. So a list of milestones, tasks, and objectives that would have to take place once you start moving towards the actual regional structure. This process will take place over the next couple of months. It will culminate in December. As we stay on track and on plan, I intend to be here about every other week meeting with the group, and probably weeks in between talking with the group while on the phone. I suspect we're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk more after today. I look forward to it. Certainly, it's my professional duty to help work with you and get through this facilitation and come out of it in great shape. I also want to tell you it is my personal commitment to make sure that we get through this and we get through it well. With that, I guess I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Otherwise, I'll be seated.
Great. Questions for Jason? Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
To Sue and John and Karen and Bill and Dale and Diane, on behalf of all the mayors, we do really appreciate you guys getting together and really focusing in on what makes sense going forward. Obviously, this has been talked about for over a decade, and we certainly don't need the Iowa legislature solving this for us. So we're glad that we're all here. We're excited about the opportunity. I think it sends a great message, not only to our residents, but to future folks looking to come to the region. A lot of the economic development information that we see would indicate that the Midwest has huge opportunities to continue to grow because we have plenty of water and we have cheap, reliable energy. And I think by setting up this group and doing this plan, it's going to send a message not only to our residents, but to people that are looking to move here, businesses, that we have a plan in place to make sure that you're going to have plenty of high-quality water when you come to central Iowa. So not only to the benefit of our community, but the future growth of our whole region, this is a huge, I think, statement to the nation, of which we are on the national stage, most recently, which the Solheim Cup showed that. So we're happy now to open it up for anyone in the public that would like to share any comments with the group. If you would, we'd like you to come to the podium and share your name and address. Otherwise, there's been a meeting scheduled every 2 weeks, same time, same location, here through December 20th. So there'll be plenty of opportunity to share comments, concerns, questions, thoughts going forward. So is there anyone here today that would like to share any public comments? All right, well, we appreciate the attendance. Sue, anything else for the good of the order before the next meeting?
No, thank you.
Okay.
And thank you, Mayor Antwig, for hosting us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you.